Live from the William Hill Sportsbook inside the Palms, it's the William Hill Sports Show. Now here's Paul Howard.
All right, happy Thanksgiving. Special show due to Black Friday. We'll be back our usual spot here and now. Friday, 6 to 7, hanging out the Palms. Down, Scotch 80, great steakhouse. Everyone loves the buffet as well, and all the machines and the pool. People love the hotel room as well, and the cafe, Dynamite. Always a good time at the Palms, and the William Hill book is phenomenal. Park right by the barbecue. Come on in, jam the kiosk, walk up to the teller. You see the largest in-play wagering menu every single day off to the right next to the bar, and all the couches and chairs sitting down with all the big screens. It's a beautiful book. Come on down at the Palms and hang out at William Hill, the home of betting, over 100 locations in the state. Odds boost, quick picks, cash out, same game parlays, fire bets as well. Load that sucker right through Venmo, less than 5 seconds. PT711 as well. Load it, kiosk, everything you need with Will Hill, William Hill US on X. WilliamHill.us, the website. And again, over 100 locations in the state. Type in the zip code and getting that progressive jackpot as well. And first bet match up to $250 with your bonus bet. Take advantage of that. We already had a football game today. Bowling Green pounded UMass. They were laying 14. They won by 31. UMass finishes the season 0-12. And some people had them as their lowest power-rated team since they've been doing this. Involved in this racket for a long time. Western Michigan, if they win, they are in the MAC title game next Saturday. They are up 17-7 at the half against Eastern Michigan. That opened 7-7.5 and got up to 10.5 with the buying into the must-win, got to get it, got to have it game, all that. But 17-7 right now at halftime. I'll give you the in-play with that game as we go. Quiet night in NBA. Washington only has one win this year, but they're putting it on Atlanta. 125-99 with 6 minutes left. Lakers and Clippers coming up next. And we'll get to that as the Lakers are in first place and a quiet night on the ice as well. We just had the college football rankings. Still, Miami moved up one, but not enough. Still, the committee is the head-to-head, not doing it for them. Incredible. You know, they're debating who's the better team. And Miami played Notre Dame, and they won. So Notre Dame is getting more credit for losing a close game than Miami is for beating them. So Miami moved up after Utah gave up 500 yards rushing but still won at home against Kansas State. So Miami is number 12. They have a 9% chance only to make the ACC title game. And based on the eye test, and they feel like Notre Dame is the most complete team out of Notre Dame, Alabama, BYU, and Miami. Notre Dame has one good win. Two, but take into account Pitt's head coach Narduzzi before the game said, I don't care if we lose this game by 100. The next two games are what count, what matters, Georgia Tech and then Miami. So BYU also no respect. Interesting, a conundrum the committee would have if BYU loses by 3 in the Big 12 title game and they finish 10-2 and there are only two losses to a nasty Texas Tech team with might be the best defense in college football. Highly unlikely, but it should be getting more attention. And Alabama at number 10, they have to beat Auburn, or they're going to be out as well. Alabama would be the last team in. Tulane would play Texas Tech in the 12-5 matchup. Notre Dame would go to Oklahoma in the 9-8. Miami, well, Virginia, we'll call it. They have Miami, but it's wrong. They just do that because of the highest-ranked ACC team. If Virginia wins, they're in the ACC title game. If SMU wins, that will be their opponent. The winner gets the automatic spot and would go to take on Oregon, who's 6. Bama, Ole Miss in the 10-7 game. Top four remain unchanged. Buckeyes 1, Indiana 2, A&M 3, Georgia number 4. The odds on Ole Miss to miss the playoffs, to make was minus 3,500 10 days ago. Now it's minus $6. There are only a 7-point favorite Friday in the Egg Bowl. And Kiffin appears to be out the door. It'll be announced Saturday. They're going to say what's going to happen. The cat could be out of the bag before that. They will despise him and hate him forever with Ole Miss. Scenario number one, they beat Miss State, go to the playoff, and Kiffin leaves and will not coach them. The other scenario, they lose to their rival, they don't make the playoff, and he leaves the next day and takes the LSU job, which we've lost all our minds that they're going to make this guy the highest paid coach in college football history with a horrendous resume. And he couldn't make the playoff last year with Jackson Dart as his quarterback and a much better team. I do know this. They are out if they lose. There's not much on the resume. They did outplay Georgia on the road but let a 9-point lead slip away late. But if you lose to Miss State and they're sitting there at number 7 and then your coach leaves, that'll be it for Ole Miss. Also, what is going to happen with Oregon? Oregon moved up one spot. They're number 6. What if they lose at Washington? They're still getting credit for the win at Penn State. That's a quote from the committee. But yet Miami isn't getting credit for beating Florida and Florida State. Ask Alabama about Florida State. But can Oregon survive a loss in Washington on Saturday? They're sitting there at 6. Remember, Alabama dropped 6 spots, losing against Oklahoma after they thoroughly outplayed them, just beat themselves with turnovers. Then again, are they only going to put 2 with a Big Ten in? That I can't see. Big Ten runs college football. Back-to-back champs. SEC hasn't made the title game in 3 years. And could Michigan sneak in there if they beat the Buckeyes for the 5th year in a row? Maybe that happens because Michigan moved up 3 spots after their win against Maryland. So that's what's on the line here with the final week of the college football season. And you can check out all the lines and odds to make the playoff, which we'll get to coming up. But if you want to bet the stuff at Will Hill and Caesars, it's up there as well. And Notre Dame is minus 2,000 to make it. And they're sitting there at number 9, and they're a huge favorite. So the committee's in love with them, even though they played 3 tough opponents and lost 2 of them. Brand name bias wins out again. About last night, ugly game, ton of interceptions. Niners win again. Maybe they're an under team from here on out. Have to play ball control, chew clock, bad defense, 31st and pass rush win rate. Although Salah did a good job with the pressure and putting heat on Bryce Young. But you have a quarterback now you can't trust throwing the ball beyond 15 yards. 3 interceptions and a half, the second time in his career. The Mac Jones almost was in that game. But the Niners win, and they're huge favorites now to make the playoffs. They're 6.5 Sunday at Cleveland, and then they have the Titans at home. After the bye, they still host the Bears at home as well and play Seattle. First touchdown of the game, Jennings 10-1. Alt under, 40.5, 3-1. And they bet the over like the game was already played. Didn't have a chance. 45.5 up to 49.5. And that stayed under. Pistons have won 13 games in a row, tied for the longest in franchise history. Still can bet division and 1 seed with futures there at Will Hill. Great story with the Pistons, who've already surpassed their win total from 2 years ago when they lost, I think, 26 in a row, 29 in a row, whatever it was. The Washington Capitals have scored a goal in the first 10 minutes, 12 games in a row. And the Sacramento Kings, 4-1 on the money line. After Friday night, the Minnesota Timberwolves led Phoenix by 8 with 40 seconds left and lost the game in regulation. First time that has happened in 4 years. Teams in that spot were 3,056-0 with an 8-point lead with less than a minute. And then what did they do last night? They were up 8 with 2 minutes and lost that one as well. Silly turnovers. Incredible that an NBA team can do that. Let's go back to what happened Sunday. The props are so good every week with Will Hill. First touchdown, first score, first quarterback to throw a touchdown, the most passing, rushing, receiving, overtime game. Will someone be shut out? Successful 2-point conversions. There's great stuff. And we'll get to their Thanksgiving Day card coming up as well with the creativity and how great the Traders did at Will Hill. First touchdown, Giants 12-1. First guy to score, Robinson 110-1 for the Giants. Most points scored, Lions and Rams dead heat, 5-6-1, 34 points. Highest scoring game, Lions-Giants 4-1. Lowest scoring game, Vikings-Packers 5-1. Fewest points scored, Minnesota 8-1. Could you believe it? 4 yards in the second half. McCarthy would have had a better passer rating if he simply spiked the ball into the ground on every play. Cowboys were 14-1 in play to come back and beat the Eagles down 21. Most passing yards, Winston 15-1. Anytime touchdown, plus 650. Non-quarterback to throw a touchdown, plus 350. Most rushing yards, Gibbs 15-1. Most receiving, JSN 7-1. He has already set the record most yards in a most yards in a season for a Seattle wide receiver. He has six games left. And he's now plus 150 to break Megatron's record. And he also set a record 11 games in a row to start the season, 75 yards or more. Lose some. The Saints are 1-10 ATS in the first quarter. They've been outscored 85-19. They were plus 3, went off the favorite, lost to Atlanta. First and goal inside the 5 twice, only scored 3 points. Lions 10 up to 14.5, should have lost the game. Dallas, Philly under, 51 down to 47, winner. Likewise, Arizona, Jacksonville over, 44 up to 47. And Green Bay, Minnesota under, 44 down to 41. That was also good. By the way, what transpired in that Minnesota game Friday? 2-point shot, steal. 3-pointer, steal. 2-point, steal. Missed free throws, lay it in. 113-105 becomes a Phoenix win. I've never seen anything like it. As far as the playoffs now, Broncos are $3 to win the division. Chiefs season was on the line. They pulled it out, down 20-9. In the second half, came back to win. Great job by their defense to slow down Danny Dimes and JT in the second half. But the Broncos have an easy schedule, and they should be able to wrap that up. I think that's a good bet. They're 6.5 Sunday night in Washington. Daniels won't play. Ravens, minus 425. Won 5 in a row, but it hasn't been pretty. New England, minus 650 to win the division. Colts are down to 2-1. Take a peek at the schedule. Their schedule's brutal. Jacksonville, a lot of winnable games. That's why they're minus 320 to make the playoffs. They're not that good, but somehow they were plus 4 in the turnover battle and still beat Arizona. Minus 4, excuse me, and still beat Arizona after they also allowed a defensive touchdown. Green Bay plus 125. Tampa minus 425. The Rams are minus 425. Cowboys are 7-1 to make the playoffs. 49ers minus $6. Bears minus 145. Lions $1.20. Only $1.20 to make the playoffs. Packers minus $5. Jacksonville minus 320. As I mentioned, the awards market. Wild. McMillan has gone from 5-1 to the favorite. He only had 2 catches last night. With that Buka not doing much and all the injuries in Tampa Bay and the losses. Dart plus 350. See if he plays Monday night in New England. Warren plus 550. Henderson had a strong case, but now they brought Stevenson back, so he's going to split carries. Offensive player of the year. Taylor is down to 120. He was as high as 450 a couple weeks ago. Miles Garrett, $8 defensive player of the year. Going to set the sacks record. Coach of the year, Vrabel minus 250. Steichen 5-1. Ben Johnson still has a case. The Bears can win this division. They're lucky, but still give them respect. They're 8-3. Bills $6 to make the playoffs. Kansas City minus 220. Chargers $1.20. Pittsburgh plus 270. Houston plus 145 only. They go to Indy and then they go to Kansas City Sunday night. That is tough. But nasty defense. If they get in, they're going to be a tough out and they're going to be dangerous. We'll get college picks with Paul Stone coming up later in the show. Let's get on with it with the NFL. Again, the Thanksgiving specials are awesome. They're up on the app. Check it out, for example. Every team to score 2 touchdowns in the Thanksgiving Day games. Every team to kick a field goal. Each team has a touchdown and field goal. Rice, 80 yards with Flowers, 80 yards, plus 450. 2 touchdowns out of Love, Burrow, and Dak, plus 450. We could be in store for some crazy props that cash. And all the stuff that they offer from even money up to 50-1. Most passing yards, most receiving yards, most tight end yards, high-scoring team, low-scoring team, highest-scoring game, combined points. Will everyone score a touchdown? Will there be a safety? Will there be overtime? Phenomenal job by the traders putting all this stuff up with the Thursday, with the Thanksgiving Day games, and then you've got the Black Friday game as well, which is awesome, but it's separate from all these props. Detroit 2.5 and 49 the total on Thursday morning. They've lost 7 of their last 8 on Thanksgiving. The Lions and Cowboys haven't gone a combined 2-0 ATS on Thanksgiving since 2001. And they both haven't gone 2-0 straight up in ATS on Thanksgiving since 1994. That is hard to believe. Road favorites are 25-1 straight up on Thanksgiving since 2004. Chiefs are your lone road favorite. Favorites have dominated on Thanksgiving. Since 2004, they're 51-9 straight up. In the wild card era, 1990, favorites of 7 points or more on Thanksgiving are 30-5 straight up, with the Ravens fitting that bill. Lamar Jackson compromised, not taking off and running. These would have been some losses if they were playing above average teams, and that hasn't happened. You got Miami, you got the Jets, you got Minnesota, and how bad McCarthy's been. So they've won. The defense has been awesome, but Lamar not taking off, and the running game isn't what we'd expect. I'm waiting on Detroit, Baltimore, Buffalo, Kansas City to snap out of it, show that they belong and they can make a run and be a playoff team, and I don't see it. Well, they can still get in. I don't expect any of those teams to do damage come January. I throw out the week one meeting. But if Green Bay can put pressure on Goff, make him uncomfortable, there could be a long night for Goff in that one. They need more touches for Gibbs, especially what they did in the passing attack on the Sunday night game in Philly. But this defense is pathetic. What happened against Winston? Made you look foolish. Going up and down the field and the horrible decision to go for it, fourth and goal from the six, instead of kicking the field goal to go up six. Love could have a big game, and he is 7-1 for most passing yards on Thursday. So he got a total of 49, 52.5, and 51.5 with the Turkey Day games. Chiefs 3, 52.5 against the Cowboys. Huge win, saved their season. Eagles again beat themselves, do dumb stuff, silly penalties. And again, how do you go from 2,000 yards with Barkley and it's a struggle just to get him 50 yards? Got to have Lane Johnson out there. He makes a big difference. But also there's something off with Hurts and A.J. Brown. And that offense is too good to go. Three times this year they've had a scoreless half. Only Tennessee has more with four. But I would think you can't run the ball against Dallas since all these trades. I give them credit. They stuck with it with Hunt. They had 30 carries against the Colts, but this could be a big game for Kelce, who's even money to have the most yards for a tight end. And I think the Chiefs will pull it out and get the win. This gets fun if Dallas wins again, and then they go to Detroit next Thursday. Baltimore is 7-51.5 against the Bengals. Burrow will play. Higgins is out. Hendrickson is out. You should be able to get whatever you want against this horrendous Cincinnati defense, which continues to give up 28 points per game on the season. Did a better job against New England. Actually had a pick six in that one. But I would think you got to blitz Burrow. The problem isn't the quarterback. It's been the defense and the offensive line in Cincinnati. And I think Chase is going to get a ton of targets coming off his suspension. I would like Noah Fant over, but Gesicki's back. So, but the one thing you have to look at is the tight ends. Cincinnati is horrendous, all-time bad, covering tight ends. You got Likely. You have Andrews, and Kolar is 7-1, anytime touchdown. Black Friday, Eagles are 7 against the Bears. Bears number one in takeaways, number one in turnover differential. Big win against the Steelers. Williams had a terrible turnover, fumbling in his own end zone that resulted in a touchdown. But this is getting real here, where I don't think the Eagles are going to be able to snap out of it, that their defense is going to have to carry them. And the offense continues to let them down in these big spots. And to blow a 21-rip lead, which they're going to win the division anyways, but they could piss away the one seed now with that big win against the Rams. And now the Rams have a tough schedule, but they look like a freight train. Tampa 3 at Arizona, 44.5 the total. They got good news on Baker Mayfield, but we'll see if he starts on Sunday. Questionable right now. And Godwin back for Tampa. Bucky Irving should be back as well. Arizona's lost 8 of 9. Gannon should be gone. They continue to give up a ton of points and can't stop anything. How did they beat the Cowboys on that Monday night game? Miami is 6, 41.5 against the Saints. Atlanta 2.5, 39.5 at the Jets. Good win against New Orleans. I thought they'd pack it in. Cousins played well, but that's what they should be doing. Feed Robinson, feed Algier, and good job defensively. The Saints' only touchdown was off a pick six. Rams are 10.5 at Carolina. Look at that. 45 the total. Stafford minus 250 to win the MVP. It should be higher than that. He's on a 27-to-rip touchdown INT ratio. The last seven games and 30 touchdowns, two picks on the season. incredible what he's doing. Complete team now that they brought in the thicker kicker. And not a lot of respect for Carolina, who could actually sneak in and still win that division. Rams 10.5 on the road. Colts 4.5 against the Texans. See if Stroud is back. 44.5 the total. Huge game for Houston. They're dangerous if they get in, but you got to have Stroud back here. Mills held it down, winning three in a row. But they made Buffalo and Allen look ridiculous Thursday night. Colts defense was on the field a lot for much of that game against the Chiefs, and Houston's well rested. Jacksonville 6.5 at Tennessee, 41.5 the total. Don't trust Lawrence. Tough game here, but again, cakewalk schedule for Jacksonville. Niners are down to 5 now. 5-38 against Cleveland and Sanders. Great job beating the Raiders, but it's the Raiders who are probably the worst team in the league now. Total disarray. Chip Kelly let go. Special teams coach let go 2 weeks before that. Horrible offensive line. Sacked 10 times. Took them a half to figure out we got to go shotgun or we have no chance with Geno Smith. Should be a quarterback change. And no one else to throw to other than Bowers. But Sanders made some nice throws. But again, simple game plan. A lot of yak. The dump off to Sampson. Daddy housed. I like it under. But that's a lot of respect for Cleveland. Can they block Garrett, though? But when in doubt, just dump it off to McCaffrey, who might lead the league in receptions and should be comeback player of the year. What a game he had last night. The guy should get 35 touches a game, minimum, what he's done. Big game for the Niners. If they win that, you can lock up a playoff spot. Seattle 10.5 at home to Minnesota. Now McCarthy's in the concussion protocol. It'd be Brosmer, the rookie out of Minnesota. If he can't go, the frustration. Said it a long time ago. Jefferson throwing his helmet, arguing on the sideline. It is bad there, man. Seattle should boat race him. 41.5 the total. Buffalo 3.5 at Pittsburgh. 47.5 the total. Don't think the Bills are good. Josh Allen, if he doesn't play at an MVP level, they're not going to win. And you got to get healthy. You got to get guys back. And Rodgers is supposed to play with Pittsburgh, but this is the worst pass defense in the league. Yes, I'm talking about the Steelers. Hard to believe. Buffalo should be able to move it. I like the over in that game. Chargers 9.5 off the bye against the Raiders. 41 the total. Sunday night, Denver 6.5 at Washington. 43.5 the total. Monday night, New England 7.5 against the Giants, who fired their DC. 5 double-digit leads they blew this year. Most in NFL history. Bowen let go after they blew another one against Detroit. We'll see how May and the Patriots look now with Campbell out for multiple weeks and now down 3 offensive linemen. Next Thursday, Detroit 5.5 and 54.5 against the Cowboys. Could be a loser leaves town match, an elimination game. Cleveland 3.5 at home to Tennessee, 34.5 the total. Miami 3 at the Jets. Seattle 7.5 in Atlanta. Buffalo is 7. At home to Cincinnati, 53.5 the total. Baltimore, 6.5 at home to Pittsburgh. Here's what Baltimore needs. Win the next 2 games, and then maybe you could actually sit Lamar or blow somebody out and rest him for a half. You did beat the Bears with Huntley, as he played well in that game, and the defense has really played well. Because he is dealing with an ankle, a toe, that was the hammy originally. He's got a knee injury. He's not taking off and running. Not the same guy, and they have no chance come January if he can't scramble and he doesn't take off. How also it affects the passing game. I mean, maybe it's just a big performance the next couple weeks, lean on Henry or a big dose of the tight ends and also Flowers. You get Bateman back too, that's big. But again, it's the worst pass defense in the league, and they should take it away from Rodgers a couple times in that game. But you take a commanding lead, almost insurmountable if you win the next 2 games. The Vikings are favored against Washington at home. Daniels could be back for that one. Colts 3 at Jacksonville, 48.5 the total. Tampa 8.5 at home to the Saints. Denver 8 out here against the Raiders. Rams 8.5 at Arizona. Kansas City 5.5 at home to Houston on Sunday night. What a stretch. Imagine if Houston can go 3-0 here and beat the Bills, Colts, and Chiefs. And Monday night, good game. Eagles 2.5 against the Chargers, 43.5 the total. I think the Philly defense will be all over Herbert in that one. And Chargers got to get some wins to make sure they make the playoffs. So check out the Thanksgiving specials on the app. Check out the game specials on all three games. Phenomenal work. Over 200 different ways to bet all these games. Great job by the Traders and everyone at Will Hill. Both teams rushing touchdown, starting in the Green Bay game, $1.15. A two-point attempt, plus 120. A field goal each quarter, 5-1. Any team to score 40 points is 5-1. Octopus is 14-1. Game to go to overtime. Two made field goals in each quarter. Everything you want. And then don't forget the in-game props as well. 25% same-game parlay profit boost pack is available. I mentioned earlier, first bet match up to $250 is a bonus bet. Win or lose. And then they also have the 25% boost for the first touchdown score. The odds boost, quick picks, cash out, same game parlays, fire bets. Incredible job and great stuff up there, as always, on the app. We'll get to the college football schedule, starting with Thanksgiving. We also have a Thanksgiving Day game. We'll recap what happened earlier and the in-play on the Western Michigan game and all the scenarios and who can win all these conferences and everything on the line, especially in the Mountain West. San Diego State was 40-1. They win, they're in. Pitt was 70-1 not that long ago. They need to win and get help. Southern Miss was 20-1 that our next guest gave out in the summer. If they win, they're in. Well, they're a big dog against James Madison in the Sun Belt title game as well. Texas Tech was as high as 12-1. They win, they're in, and they'll be a big favorite. So we'll recap. We'll look at all the scenarios and recap what happened today and get four picks from Paul Stone coming up. Make all your bets at William Hill, the home of betting over 100 locations in the state. The largest in-play wagering menu every single day. Load that sucker right through Venmo. Load it PT 7-Eleven, piece of cake. And again, the $250 first bet match that's available when you sign up. You'll love the app and the futures and everything that they have with the specials as well. And again, over 200 different ways to bet all these games on Thanksgiving. Paul Stone and college football up next on ESPN Radio.
Live from the William Hill Sportsbook inside the Palms, it's the William Hill Sports Show.
Special show. Happy Thanksgiving. Due to Black Friday, we'll be back our normal spot moving on the rest of the football season, 6 to 7. William Hill Sports Show, ESPN Radio. Make all your bets at William Hill. Largest in-play wagering menu every single day. Easy to fund your account. And that $250 bonus when you join and get that app, you get that $250 bonus bet. Magic lead the Sixers 86-60 at halftime. Unbelievable. 229.5 was the total pre-flop. Now in play, it's 259. And they're minus 21.5 in play. One final. Washington was a 11-point dog. They routed the Atlanta Hawks. I don't know if the Hawks went out and got after it and partied. Washington was 1-15, catching 11. They were up 20 right away, and they won 132-113. McCollum had 46. Clippers and Lakers at 8 o'clock. The doubleheader on NBC, so you get that late game. Lakers are 6.5, 229.5 the total. Lakers in first place. Clippers are 5-12. It's an NBA Cup game. And now, other than the Luka trade, which is probably the worst trade in the history of sports, and the Lakers should put a statue of Nico Harrison in front of the arena. What the Clippers did to trade SGA and all those picks for Paul George because Kawhi wanted him to, where he wasn't going to sign, and then Kawhi could get him in hot water here with this contract and no-show, like Paulie Walnuts. I got three no-show jobs. And I mean, they've only, two playoff wins? Two playoff series wins with Kawhi? And all that money and all the injuries and load management, they're 5-12. So OKC has all those picks moving forward. It's going to be ridiculous. OKC's going to repeat, and they have a treasure chest of picks coming up as well. See if the Lakers keep rocking and rolling tonight in a good game coming up at 8 o'clock. Earlier today, as I mentioned, UMass finished the season 0-12. Bowling Green was laying 14. They won by 31. And right now in the MAC, if Western Michigan wins, they're in the MAC title game. They were laying 10.5. They're up 17-7 in the third quarter. the marquee games in college football. We start on Thanksgiving night. A touchdown Western Michigan now 24-7. 7 minutes left in the third quarter. Memphis is laying, where is it? Memphis is laying 5.5, 58 against Navy. Check out Navy's quarterback, Horvath. Good quarterback. I like his rushing yards over. 3-0 Stars first period. My God. Opening up a can on Edmonton. 58 the total. Should be a high-scoring game on Thanksgiving. The Egg Bowl, Old Miss is 7 and 62.5. This line was 12 a week ago. The Lane Kiffin distraction. Going to leave the program. Probably goes to LSU. Announced Saturday. And then what does the committee do if they lose? And do also they penalize them as their head coach leaves. Georgia 13.5 at Georgia Tech. San Diego State 1.5 against New Mexico. New Mexico was 150-1 to win the conference early in the season. Aztecs win. They're in the Mountain West title game. Likewise for Boise State. Aztecs already beat them. 41.5 the total. Great season for New Mexico. Rebels wouldn't need a lot to happen and go their way. They lost to New Mexico, and they lost to Boise. North Texas, 19.5 against Temple. Friday afternoon, they win. They're in the American Athletic title game where they would play Tulane, who's a huge favorite. Boise's 3.5 at Utah State. A&M is 2.5 at Texas. The big one Saturday morning. How do you not take 10.5 with Michigan? Ohio State and Ryan Day have lost to Michigan 4 years in a row. Last year actually turned out to be a positive, that they rallied around the loss and then won the national title. 44.5 the total. And could Michigan sneak in the playoff with a win as they're ranked 15th now? Texas Tech, 10-1 ATS, by the way, the Texas Tech. Guns up, 24 on the road at West Virginia. Winning they're in. Can't dock them for losing the Big 12 title game. Their only loss at a top 20 team, Arizona State, and their backup quarterback played. Miami 7 at Pittsburgh. Don't trust Miami. Got to take the points with Pitt. Pitt wins. They get some help. They'll be in the ACC title game. As I mentioned earlier, SMU wins at Cal. They're in. Virginia beats Va Tech. They're in the ACC title game. Huge tickets on those teams not that long ago. Well, they take on Troy. The winner plays James Madison in the Sun Belt title game. Oregon 6.5 at Washington. 51.5 the total. Tough place to play. Don't want to give the committee a reason to keep you out. Oregon sitting there at 6. How far could they drop if they lose? Vandy still has a shot. 3-point dogs at Tennessee. They are ranked 1 to win the Heisman. A lot on Paul Bunyan's axe. Longest meeting in college football. Meetings go back to 1890. And they've had 134 meetings. Minnesota's won. 37.5 at home against Wisconsin. Paul Stone will have a pick on that in a second. And it's all the Iron Bowl. Alabama is 6. 46.5. SMU 13.5 at Cal. Cal fired Wilcox, their head coach. Notre Dame is 32.5 at Stanford. And the get-out game. To close the season, Hawaii is 8 and 44.5 against Wyoming. It is 4-0 Dallas in the first period at Edmonton. What is going on? The in-play at Will Hill, I'll give it to you in a second. Might have been a play with a high stick. But the in-play in the NBA again, Magic minus 21.5, 258.5 the total. Western Michigan up 24-7. They're minus 19.5, 48.5 is the total. Great college basketball schedule as well with all these tournaments. And Gonzaga and Maryland are underway right now. And Gonzaga's up 5-0 after the big win last night against Alabama. So make all your bets at William Hill and check out the in-play. They do a phenomenal job. Still waiting to see if this goal counts for Dallas. No, that's a play with a high stick. So 3-0, 2 minutes left in the first period. Earlier, we caught up with Paul Stone. Pro Sports Better, Paul Stone Sports on X. That's the name of the website and the podcast as well. A four-pack of picks here. And we got into it with Paul Stone. He likes a total and a bunch of sides, including that big Miami-Pittsburgh game. Take it away, Paul.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Some best bets here. Final week of college football, regular season anyway, as we head out to the Progressive Guest Line. Paul Stone joins the program now. You can follow him on X. He's at Paul Stone Sports. Good afternoon, buddy. Happy Thanksgiving. We appreciate the time. Let's begin with a really big game in the SEC. Vandy takes on Tennessee. This one is going to be worth a three and a half hour watch, I think. Back and forth affair. What is your plan of attack here with the betting numbers on this game?
Yeah, Vanderbilt obviously still has a small chance to make the playoff if they can get the mild upset there in Knoxville. But I'm looking at the total here, and this game, the total opened 64.5 on Sunday there at Circa. It's been bet up just a little bit to 65.5, but I think this is a game that just screams points. You look at it, first of all, when you're looking at an over, especially in the mid-60s, you want to look at that weather forecast. We're still 4 days out from Saturday's 3:30 p.m. Eastern kickoff there in Knoxville. But the forecast looks really favorable right now. High of 50 degrees, no wind to speak of, really no chance of precipitation. So really looks like it's going to be ideal conditions. Throw just some numbers at you. Don't want to throw too much out there. But Tennessee averages 39.3 points per game this year versus FBS opponents. They rank seventh nationally in scoring. Vanderbilt just a point behind, 38.3 points per game, to rank eighth nationally. They both average over 450 total yards offense per game. Vanderbilt, 7.2 yards per play. Tennessee not far behind at 6.6 yards per play. Both these teams like to throw the ball. They both rank in the top 10 nationally in yards pass per attempt. Both of these teams average over 9 yards per attempt. Vandy, 9.3 yards per attempt. Tennessee, 9.1. I could go on and on. They both pass the ball very well, move the ball very well on offense. They don't defend the pass very well, though. Both rank in the bottom 25 in passing yards allowed of the FBS 136 teams. I see a lot of points here. Both these teams also very highly ranked in yards per point, which is a metric which speaks to a lot of things, but basically – you know, a team that scores a lot of touchdowns, doesn't kick a whole lot of field goals, a higher relative percentage of non-offensive touchdowns, shorter scoring drives set up by turnovers, that kind of thing. They're both in the top 10 in yards per points. I think we're going to get a game in the 70s. I like this game over 65.5 there in Knoxville on Saturday.
Very good. All right. Good luck, my friend. They've been playing this game since 1890. 134 meetings. Paul Bunyan's axe. Minnesota and Wisconsin. Wisconsin, a couple upsets now since they announced they're bringing Fickell back. What do you think of the Gophers here?
I mean, first of all, man, you got to love college football, just these names. Teams playing for, you know, this is the battle for Paul Bunyan's axe, as you mentioned. Minnesota and Michigan, they play for the Little Brown Jug, TCU, SMU, the Iron Skillet. We could go on and on, but really unique part of college football lore. Looking at these teams, the outcome of this game, not going to have any implications on either team's bowl possibilities, you know, this season. Certainly where Minnesota goes could be impacted, but at 6-5, Minnesota's already qualified for a bowl. At 4-7, Wisconsin's simply playing for pride here. This will be their last game of the season. And while Wisconsin's season, you know, as a whole is going to be judged as a disappointment, they have certainly shown strides in the month of November, posted home victories over Washington and Illinois. Their AD Chris McIntosh gave Luke Fickell an endorsement that he would return. Fickell will for the 2026 season. Also gave him a pledge of greater investment in the program, which Wisconsin sorely needs to keep up with their Big Ten brethren. And while Wisconsin, they've managed to steady the ship a little bit, I like Minnesota here to retain the axe, and it's primarily due to the Gophers' home road dichotomy. They have played a much more difficult road schedule, but they are a much better team at home this season. They're 6-0 at home this year. Perfect 6-0 and a rather imperfect 0-5 on the road. Their best win of the year being a 24-6 victory over Nebraska at home in mid-October. I think Minnesota and the redshirt quarterback Drake Lindsey get it done. You never want to lay many points with a offensively challenged Minnesota team, but here we are at pick. Just have to win the game. I think they will. Give me Minnesota pick over Wisconsin at Huntington Bank Stadium.
For those who don't know, this is the most played college football series in Division I.
Yeah.
It's tied at 63 apiece with eight ties. From 04 to 2017, Wisconsin won every single game, but P.J. Fleck has done a great job. Minnesota's won four out of the last seven in this rivalry. It is a big deal. And Paul, as a Wisconsinite, I hope you're wrong on this one.
Oh,
I'm right. just kidding. That's for pride. So you faded Pittsburgh last week, and they got out. They jumped on Georgia Tech from the get-go in that game, and then Georgia Tech came roaring all the way back, nearly tied it up. Got back into the game. Then there was a pick six. Now this week, you're on Pittsburgh against Miami, catching seven. Tell us why you like them.
Yeah, I've had this game circle for some time, really, Mitch. Most of Miami's players, I would say with a great degree of confidence, they probably didn't come to the U because of the opportunity to play a late November game in Pittsburgh in near freezing temperatures every couple of years. So that probably wasn't part of the reason they came there. And certainly nothing against the fine, hardworking men and women of the Steel City. My wife, she's from the state of Ohio, but grew up only 60 miles from Pittsburgh, so certainly fond of that area. But the Canes, man, they're about fun in the sun. They're about South Beach, and this just didn't it. This Saturday, the forecast calls for a high temperature of 37 degrees in Pittsburgh, possibility of some slow flurries. We'll keep an eye on that as we get closer to game day, but the weather might not be very Miami-esque, if you will. Neither here nor there, but the high in Miami on Saturday predicted to be a rather balmy 77 degrees. You talked about Pittsburgh's victory, won by two touchdowns there at Georgia Tech, just really controlled the game from beginning to end. They had a very balanced offensive attack. Their true freshman quarterback, Mason Heintschel, he just continues to perform at a high level. Looks like a veteran quarterback. He threw for 226 yards. They have been without one of their better offensive players in recent weeks. Desmond Reed, kind of their scat back. He's been in and out. But this past weekend against Georgia Tech, they had a true freshman, a guy who's 5'9", 180 pounds, Jakarian Turner. He rushed for 201 yards in that victory for Pitt over Georgia Tech. So They identified another weapon. And he happens to be a Floridian. I would doubt Miami recruited him if he's playing at Pitt. So this game might have an extra measure meaning for Mr. Turner. The month of November last year certainly wasn't kind to Miami. We'll remember that they dropped November road games as more than a touchdown favorite at both Georgia Tech and at Syracuse, ultimately kept them out of the 12-team playoff. This year in November, back on November 1st, they went to SMU as a 10.5-point road favorite, lost to the Ponies 26-20. Their quarterback, the well-compensated Carson Beck, between last year at Georgia and this year at Miami, he's thrown a total of 21 interceptions. So he is a little bit interception prone. So I think Pitt's got a chance to either push or perhaps win that turnover battle on Saturday. The Panthers don't have to beat Miami for us to get the money. They just have to keep it close. And I think they've got a chance to win. Give me Pitt +7 over Miami Saturday in Pittsburgh.
All right. Less than 2 minutes left. Great call last week on UTSA. Right back with them laying 7 against Army.
You know, sometimes, Paulie, you just ride a hot hand, and that's what we're going to do here again with their quarterback, Owen McCowan, and the Texas San Antonio Roadrunners. You know, to kind of review, last week I highlighted Texas San Antonio's very distinct home-road dichotomy, looking at their performances in the Alamo Dome and away from the Alamo Dome. And since the start of the 2024 season, after that victory over East Carolina last weekend, resounding victory. They are now 10-1 at home, straight up 9-2 against the spread over that same span. You look at their road play, they're 2-10 on the road straight up over the last two seasons, 3-9 against the spread. They are just a different team at home. And looking at Owen McCowan at the Alamo Dome, specifically over his last four games, I mean, he has been a marksman over these last four games. Those games coming against Incarnate Word, Rice, Tulane, and then last week, East Carolina. He is 100 of 123, so an 81% completion rate, 1,097 yards, an average of 8.9 yards per attempt. He's thrown for 16 touchdowns in those last four games against absolutely zero interceptions. So he's taking care of the football. I just like where they are. Army's a team that depends offensively and defensively on discipline and technique. They don't want to get in although they do have some great athletes, you know, they don't want it to become a game of athleticism. And where that kind of gets to them sometimes is when teams throw the football and teams get them in space on the field. And that's what UTSA, I think, is going to do here. I like UTSA -7. Kind of a side note as well, UTSA's last nine games at the Alamo Dome have all gone over. Saturday's total of 52. But I like UTSA -7 over Army.
Very good. Best of luck this weekend. Happy Thanksgiving.
Coming up, Lakers laying 6, and the Stars up 4-0 at the end of the first period, -3,000 in play. You want to get nuts? I wouldn't take 30-1 on the Oilers right now. Down 4, rip. 8.5 the total. Happy Thanksgiving. Plenty of stuffing, mashed potatoes, mac and cheese. Those are your top three sides. Save room for dessert. We'll talk to you next Friday. Thanks to Davis. Thanks to Vanessa. They are the best. Make all your bets at William Hill, the home of betting. Over 100 locations in the state. $250 bonus bet when you join. Jump on in now. You'll love the app at Will Hill.